guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. We each need companions and guides for this race called life, right? I wonder if you were thinking about this just now, who you were singing to while you sang, "Guide My Feet." Who do you lean on when you need help? You know, when we get lost, and all of us get lost from time to time, some of us are reluctant to ask for directions. Some of us don't like to admit that we are lost or ask for help because it makes us feel weak or vulnerable, particularly if some of us are driving and have no idea where we are going. Thank goodness for GPSs these days. But I will tell you that lately, in the last couple months, I've had different ways and deeper ways of feeling lost and discouraged. And one of the things that has helped me, that has saved me through those dark times, is my daily prayer practice, where I sit quietly first thing in the morning and drop down into silence and drop down into God, which I think is pretty much the same thing as silence. It helps, I find it essential to put myself into that presence. Eventually, after some period of time, my prayer usually takes the form of some words that form in my mind that I don't usually say out loud as I pray for people in need. These prayers aren't complicated. They're really what Zan was talking about in her prayer this morning, holding folks in the light. I'll form words like, "God, please be with Jamie and Tom and Charlotte. God, be with immigrants who are vulnerable and afraid right now. Please be with me too. Make me mindful of your presence." Our theme this month is redemption. And I understand redemption as being helped, as being saved from the trouble that's both in us and around us. Amidst all the despair and brokenness that comes with being human, being reminded that there is also reason to hope, and there are ways to heal. To participate in redemption, you have to think you need it. And it also helps to believe that you deserve it. Some people, you may know people like this, who go through life never feeling like they have to apologize for anything. They actually don't think they've ever done anything wrong. And redemption makes no sense to these folks because they simply don't believe they need it. At the other end of the spectrum, there are people who are so down on themselves that they can't be open to the possibility of goodness coming their way because they feel unworthy of it. A healthy life is somewhere in between these two extremes. You know you have work to do, and you know that you are worthy of that effort, and you know how much it all matters. You don't want to run this race in vain. This week, one of you observed something that I had noticed too, that our timing is pretty good this winter, these late weeks of winter, when we have this theme of redemption following last week's theme, which was evil. Because if we spend time walking through the valley of the shadow, and we all do, then we also need the hope that morning will come, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what redemption is, that hope, that promise, which comes out of trouble and suffering, just the way those little green shoots start to come out of the thawing earth around this time of year. I believe any movement we can make from fear and toward hope, any steps we can take away from despair and resignation and toward even the thought that a different way is possible, this is where redemption begins. In turning toward the light, in taking those first steps toward a better way. We have to start where we are. So my question to you this morning is this: where are you lost or imprisoned these days? What is the freedom you are longing for? What is the redemption you are seeking? A few years ago, I read what was a brilliantly written novel, The Corrections by Jonathan Franzen. It's an acute observation of our contemporary culture. It won the National Book Award. It's a story about a typically dysfunctional family and the absurdity of modern life and relationships. And that novel drove me crazy. I never actually finished it because there was no redemption in it. Just people bumbling about, making mistakes, hurting and disappointing one another. So call me a sap if you wish, but the stories that I love the best and the stories that I need to hear, they have a moment in them when the light bulb finally clicks on, when someone comes to a deeper understanding, an epiphany, a moment when hope is possible, when healing or transformation begins. The prodigal son finally comes to his senses and starts to head back home. In Pride and Prejudice, Mr. Darcy, beloved Mr. Darcy, finally confesses his feelings to Elizabeth Bennet. I love you most ardently. These are holy moments, and sometimes they are so small and insignificant, at least seemingly insignificant, we can miss them if we're not paying attention. You decide not to respond back to that driver who cut you off in traffic. Maybe you smile and wave or offer a brief prayer for them. You decide not to respond back to that friend who posts something asinine on Facebook. True confessions here from someone who did respond and lived to regret it. You break a pattern of unhelpful behavior. You're finally able to forgive someone who hurt you. And sometimes there are big moments, like when peace finally came to Northern Ireland and when apartheid ended without much bloodshed in South Africa. This is what we heard about this morning from the poet Seamus Heaney. History says, don't hope on this side of the grave. But then once in a lifetime, the longed-for tidal wave of justice can rise up, and hope and history rhyme. So hope for a great sea change on the far side of revenge. Believe that the further shore is reachable from here. Believe in miracle and cures and healing wells. Isn't this our calling as human beings and especially as people of faith? To believe in what is not yet. To be counted among those who are unwilling to live in the land of resentment and resignation. And rather to press on and to carry on in hope toward that better place where we're bound. This month, the song Redemption Song has been going through my mind, and I'm so grateful to Tad for singing and playing so beautifully this morning. One line in particular has kept coming back for me. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Isn't that our calling these days? Some of the words Bob Marley included in his song came from Marcus Garvey, the Jamaican-born scholar, journalist, and revolutionary who called for black people earlier in the 20th century to seek their rightful places as equals in society. He said, "We are going to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery, because whilst others might free the body, none but ourselves can free the mind." A minister friend told me about her work with new Unitarian Universalists in Burundi, in Africa. When she was there, she met people who testified to her about their new UU faith, who said, "This faith helps me to be free in my mind so I can be free in my heart." This is what we are about, freeing our minds and our hearts so that we can then bring more freedom to our world. So this work of redemption, it might start with us as individuals doing our own inner work. But as you do this, it will draw you into relationship with others, helping them as they find their liberation too. Next Sunday, we're having a community conversation here about ways to better organize our social justice efforts and whether we are going to be part of the growing number of congregations supporting the new sanctuary movement. This past week, our Board of Trustees voted unanimously to move this conversation forward. One board member said, "This is who we are." In that moment, I felt tears coming into my eyes. And it doesn't happen that often at board meetings. But it felt like a holy moment hidden there in the middle of our agenda. A reminder that we are here to take part in redeeming our world. You know that congregations like this one are needed right now, and we need to be strong and healthy and vital because the values we cherish are being threatened, and we have an important role to play. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Won't you do it for yourself and for our world? Because you know we need you. The people in your life need you. This church needs you. Our world needs you. Who you are and what you have to offer. Many of you know the words from that 19th century Unitarian minister, Theodore Parker, who said, "The arc of the moral universe is a long one. And from what I can see, I am sure that it bends toward justice." It's sobering, though, to remember the arc of the moral universe is long. And though we can take heart that it does bend toward justice, those moments when justice is realized can seem few and far between. Most of the time, we are in the struggle, trying to live our lives as best we can, trying to do a little bit better than before, trying to keep on moving forward. This is what redemption is all about, having an open and courageous heart, making the choice again and again to heal and not to harm, to bless and not to curse. The invitation, Rebecca Parker reminds us, is always to choose to bless the world. There is always injustice and evil, but that's not the whole story. We need to take heart and remember there also always moves a holy disturbance, a benevolent rage, a revolutionary love, protesting, urging, insisting that which is sacred will not be defiled. That's what I want to say these days as loudly as I can. That which is sacred will not be defiled. We are called to live our lives as a testament to that holy disturbance, to that revolutionary love. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Won't we be people singing to one another and to all who will join us, come and go with me to that land where we're bound. Amen. So let's sing 1018, Come and Go With Me.